Welcome to our chapel service this morning. Just a couple of brief announcements. First of all, you've been enjoying the prelude music provided by Professor Kresnica, and then a guest pianist this morning, Eric Larson. We thank him and both of them for the beautiful music, which will also follow the service. One other note, there's one mistake in our hymn book, and I forgot to keep that in mind as I laid out the hymns for today. Hymn 376, which we will sing, Rejoice the Lord is King. If you notice, verse 6 is a duplicate of verse 5. So just when we get to the end of the service, we will sing verses 4 and 5 there instead of 4, 5, and 6. With those notes, let us then begin our worship. Our reading for this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There is a warrant out for the arrest of actor Richard Gere. And the reason is, if you haven't heard, recently he has been in India, and while there during some type of presentation, grabbed a fellow actress and gave her a pretty passionate kiss, which in the Indian culture is something you just don't do, and actually breaks one of their laws. And so they're trying to work out some way that he can possibly go back and face some type of trial for this crime in their society. Something that in our country is hardly anything, but over there there's a different perspective on it. We wonder often then how the residents of India feel about Americans with our looseness and how our society can be so openly immoral. You wonder what type of perspective this type of activity has before the residents of India. How a person behaves in a foreign land, especially when there are cultural differences, can often misrepresent the land that the visitor comes from. What is a foreigner's duty when in a foreign land? How are they to live? That's exactly what St. Peter is placing before us as believers in Christ today. In the preceding verses to our text, he talks about how believers in Christ are foreigners and strangers in this land. Our true home is in heaven. That's where our real citizenship, our most important citizenship, lies. And so how are we to act in this country under the authorities and rulers that have power over us here? God has graciously, purely by his mercy and love for us, made us citizens of this heavenly country that was conferred upon us in the waters of baptism, that is reestablished to us every time we hear his wonderful word and receive the Holy Supper of our Lord. Those are reminders to us that we are pilgrims here in this life and that we are wandering to the true home where our true citizenship lies in heaven. You and I, by faith in Christ, belong to the most powerful nation that could ever exist, the nation of God's kingdom. It is a nation that has the power to give life, to take life, the power to restore dead bodies back to life, the power to create. And by faith in Christ, we are members and have citizenship in that wonderful kingdom. So how do you and I, who by this grace of God belong to this greater kingdom, how do we now live in this lesser kingdom and in the lesser, under the lesser authorities that we have here in this world and in this life? And here is what Peter is pointing out to us. Whatever possible disobedience that we demonstrate before the world here can shed a bad light on the king we truly belong to, can send a mixed message to the world about what is right. And it can also disgrace his church and the other fellow citizens who are heading to heaven with us. And so whenever we disobey in this life the earthly authorities, whenever we think that the tax laws don't apply to us or we can cheat to get around them, whenever we think that whatever the rules have been placed over us by authorities in any aspect of life, even our teachers, even when it comes to local authorities and government, whenever we think that we can usurp that authority and rise above it and snub our nose at it, it sends a bad message about the greater kingdom that we belong to. It says a bad message about how we, as members of the nation of Christ, have no respect for that authority below. And boy, is the world watching us. The world is paying close attention to those who claim to belong to Christ. The world likes to watch and to see when we goof up and when we make mistakes. They revel in that. I remember years ago, I was working at a car dealership in town. I was right at the stage in life where I was planning to study for the ministry, and I had let it be known to some of the young men that I was working with. And boy, any possible little slip-up that I would make, they were right on it, I tell you. They noted everything. Other people that came in and worked that didn't outwardly profess any faith in Christ, that didn't matter at all. But when Don messed up, boy, were they noting. The world is watching those who profess faith in Christ. The world loves to give the church a black eye for any time that we might disobey. And so God calls upon us and he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, not just for sake of getting punished, not just for the sake of staying out of trouble. That's certainly beneficial too, but for the Lord's sake, he says, for your conscience, whether to the king is supreme or to governors. Let us live in this life in a way that does not bring disgrace to our king and to the nation where we truly belong by faith. Think about our Lord Jesus himself. During his arrest, during his trial, during his crucifixion, during that entire time, he submitted himself to the lower, lesser authorities in this world, letting them carry out complete injustice against him for the sake of paying for our sins. before Pilate. It's an interesting scene, isn't it, to think of these two great powers, one representing the most powerful earthly kingdom that there was at the time, and then you have Christ above him, telling Pilate that any power that he had been given to him from the Father above. Anybody who was a member of Christ's kingdom simply was so by listening to his word and trusting in him and following him by faith. But what an interesting juxtaposition we have in that scene of Christ standing there before Pilate, letting himself be tried. Here's the Lord of all life, the most powerful king and ruler that could ever exist in the world, our Lord Jesus Christ. The very one who has the ability to move mountains, the one that has the ability to know every type and every hair that we have on our body, the one who has the ability to bring someone's dead body back to life from the grave. We see it in his power in Gethsemane when he's being arrested and all the authorities come to take him, and just by saying his name, he knocks them flat on their back to demonstrate his more supreme authority and power. And yet he willingly subjects himself to their rule. He willingly lets them take him because he knows this has to be done for people like you and me to be freed from our sins, to have our sins atoned for, to be right with God so someday we could go to heaven. And so he willingly subjects himself to that earthly authority. And he now calls upon us to do the same, to live our lives in subjection to these earthly authorities as a way of being praiseworthy representatives of the greater nation we belong to. He says to you and me, for my sake, for the sake of my kingdom, I ask that you now submit yourself to all of these rulers. Do it for me. Dr. C.F.W. Walther puts it well. Wherever we Christians go and stay, we must prove ourselves to be subjects of a Lord in whose country justice and righteousness dwell, and in whose rule is grounded on love, truth, and holiness. Despite the fact that we have been freed from all things in this world through the work of Christ, despite the fact that we have freedom above anything else and any other ruler because of our relationship to him through faith, yet God calls upon us to subject ourselves to these authorities up until the point they tell us to disobey him. And so the people in this foreign land of this world in which we reside may someday see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. What a scene Judgment Day is going to be. To think about all the people of all the nations brought before the Lord for judgment. And to think how amazing it's going to be that even from the mouths of unbelievers who knew us in this life, that they will stand and give testimony before God on the day of judgment of the works that we had before him that demonstrated that our hope of getting to heaven was found only in Christ our King, who has atoned for all of our sins and died to give each one of us citizenship in the greater land. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, let your protecting hand be over our country and over all who travel. Prosper what is good among us and bring to naught every evil counsel and purpose. Protect and bless your servants, the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, our judges and magistrates and all in authority. Fit them for their high calling by the gift of your spirit of wisdom and fear, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We ask it all in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.